Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
Episode 206 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam Pinave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Wait, hold on. I just cut myself on a little finishing nail. It's a little rusty.
Don't you start already.
I think I'm going to die.
I'm dying, Adam. I almost decided to do our opening as The Road So Far. So
tell me it's okay.
Tell you it's okay.
Tell me it's okay, Adam.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, let's be honest, we might go a little long today. This is just going to be completely honest, just going to be a giant supernatural thing.
Oh, I thought it was going to be all about Clone Wars. I've been watching Clone Wars.
Oh, damn it. No, I'm sorry. Fuck that up. You done fucked it up.
Damn, okay. So they were going to talk about a show called Supernatural then, and yeah. not Clone Wars. All
not
right.
Clone Wars. Not Clone Wars. Right. So, of course, Supernatural, after 15 years and I don't even know, 300-odd episodes. Now I actually want to look that up really quick. And, you know, nowadays, thanks to my new keyboard again, I have to actually, like, I can't sneak fucking, like, look things up anymore. So, yeah, 320 episodes.
Three, woof.
15 seasons. Two attempted spin-offs, neither of which ever happened.
Oh, right. I remember the Wayward Sisters one, but I totally forgot about the...
That early Chicago vampire one?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, everyone forgot about it because it was terrible.
Yeah, it was. It was that, wasn't it?
Oh.
Too bad about the Wayward Sisters one. That would have been fun. Yeah.
That really... Like, they really should have pulled the trigger on that, and they didn't, and I kind of get why.
There are many decisions that go into these things. You know, many factors that play into it.
Right. I think it's a huge mistake, and regardless. The finale happened, and... Oh, Jesus. The internet did the internet thing, and some of it is very, very fair. Some of the problems
mm-hmm.
with it. Mm-hmm. Some of it is nutty. For various reasons. And here's my problem with it. It's not so much as nutty. That's not fair at all. It's that there are legitimate issues with the finale and the episodes leading up to it. And that the weird, like, nonsense problems serve so that you can't discuss the actual issues with the episode.
Right.
Without getting tied up in the bullshit.
This is pretty much all sort of fandom discourse. It's hard to talk about legit things without having to at least address the bullshit, and then
right.
You can't get away from it.
So before we address the bullshit,
okay,
let's just talk about the episode itself for a minute, and then we can get into the actual problems and then the fake problems. Let's start there.
I will. That sounds great. Now I will start by saying that I quite enjoyed the episode.
I did too.
Problems and all.
Yeah, I mean, again, problems and all, I thought it was about as good an ending as you could do
mm-hmm.
to a 15-year show. I mean, that's the big problem, right? How do you end a 15-year show? It's
right.
God, I mean, shows that last longer than even seven seasons. I'm trying to think, like, MASH pulled it off, Cheers pulled it off. And I do actually know a few people who are angry at the Cheers ending, but they're weird.
What? Oh,
yeah. And I don't know that anything else that lasted, like, close to this long had an ending that people actually liked outside of those.
Yeah, and I think, and I mean, the thing is that they clearly made a decision to not end on the standard note. Like, they, like, not like episode 19 was sort of wrapped up the entire sort of season long, and some would say for most of the series long plot, with the fight of the Winchesters versus all cosmic forces that come their way, culminating in the fight against God.
Right. I mean, and this was like, that was the end of 15 years.
Yeah, and then the finale is what happens after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, down to, you know, the title being Carry On, like, that's
exactly.
That was the thing of it, right? Like, it was what happens after.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought it was, with the caveat of there were some problems, some major, some minor, I thought it was about as good an ending as you could do.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked
the idea that I really liked Dean dying. I know that not everybody.
I was legitimately shocked when it happened so early.
Yeah, me too. That was the thing. I was like, oh, okay. But I knew that. Like, the thing is, of course, they're if they fought for anything in this whole 15 years, it's for freedom from the cosmic forces that essentially have been keeping them captive, but underwriting them. So. What does freedom look like? Well, it looks like, you know, boredom life, and you're no longer sort of like imprisoned by the master, but you're no longer under his protection either. So Dean just dies, and he dies randomly. And they both should have died, and they have. I mean, permanently, like years ago. But of course, the rules of the show, which are baked into, like, you know, the cosmic forces that have been sort of hounding them, have kept them alive and kept them.
Well, see,
like,
I have a slightly different view of it, which is interesting.
Hmm. Do tell.
That I think that once they were free from fate, they were free to actually to find happiness.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And well, for Dean, though, but for Dean, happiness had to be death because of other things. Like, let's be honest, there was somebody, and I know we were going to get into some of this later, but this actually does play directly in. There was one thing that was, you know, if you look at the first episode, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the show never happens. Then, you know, like, Dean eventually dies hunting, and Sam, you know, has his quiet little life, and...
Right.
And that's it, right? And they're like, see, it's the same thing. So it kind of renders the show meaningless. And this is where I majorly disagree with that.
I do not agree with that.
Because, frankly, like, Dean dying, given that heaven has been fixed,
mm-hmm.
lets him actually find peace for once. Because he would never stop hunting. He wouldn't. He would never let himself be happy. That's who Dean is.
Right.
Even after the changes that, like, Cass and the end of the show put him through, he could not just stop. It's it's all he knows. He feels too much responsibility to the world. But getting to die and going to a heaven that is just peace, where he could just go and drive for a while and then do whatever he wants, and not be driving to something and just enjoy the road, enjoy the car, enjoy freedom.
Right.
Right? Is Dean's happiest possible ending, as much as we saw even in season 5 when Sam dies and, you know, Dean creates this happy life, he was never quite comfortable in it.
True.
Whereas for Sam, and this is a weirdness, I know a lot of people were like, oh yeah, he just stops hunting, and I don't think he did.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because I sort of wondered about that, but at the end, when he's dying with his gray beard and wig, his son has that tattoo.
Right.
It looks to me like Sam still hunts, and he passed on his his craft to it.
And he probably basically became Bobby.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, like, that's Sam's perfect ending in a weird way, is that he gets to have the family, he gets to have that level of peace and, you know, the responsibility that he grew into.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even earlier when, you know, he's being told, like, he's a leader, whether he likes it or not. That's who he is. But he gets to do it in a way that he could settle that he couldn't with Dean.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they both get their happiest possible endings this way. And only this way.
I agree. This seems to me the way... It seems to me like the obvious... like, route to happiness for both of the characters.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, the I don't know. I really did like it. I mean, yeah, they managed to be shocking with when they were doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the fun little callbacks to the first episode.
Yeah, I also got a kick out of the fact, remember when we were joking, that they're let's go, let's go hunt that Wendigo again. And it's right. Like, oh, shit, there's some early vampire stuff going on. Okay, they are doing this. Very good.
Yeah,
okay.
And that, like, when Dean gets to heaven, what's Bobby sitting out in front of? The old roadhouse.
That's right.
And one thing I do like is that when they reunite in heaven, they're wearing the same outfits they were wearing in the first episode.
Oh, that I did not catch.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so it's one of these full circles with growth. Now, and again, like, there are weird issues with it, like Sam's magical faceless wife.
Yeah, I was like, what? You could give her a face at least.
Right, and I think I know why. And here's some of the issue with this. And mm-hmm. This is where this gets weird, is they admitted recently, they did a whole thing, that there was a different script. And it wasn't that, like, there was interference so much as there was a pandemic. And, people are now pissed. Like, well, they decided to just film anyway instead of waiting. It's like, how long would they have had to wait?
Yeah. Come on.
You know, no one knows. And, yes, there are things filming now, but even there, they're changing scripts. They're doing reduced casts and all that. Like, we know they wanted the parents back.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is they wanted to show that Shauna was back, whatever her name in the show was. And that she would have been the mother.
Oh, okay.
But without, and that's just a guess. But without her there, they just kind of filmed someone blurry from a distance.
Okay.
That's a guess, and it's not based on anything. But also, there was a different ending. There was a whole scene with Cass that was more than just a nod to the fact that he is out of hell and he helped rebuild heaven. There was a Cass Dean scene.
Oh, okay.
In the script. And this, of course, gets to one of the other big problems with the thing, is that there is no real payoff to the whole Castine thing.
Right.
And again, it should have been there, and they kind of didn't have the actor because of pandemic stuff. They couldn't get everyone in. So they kind of head faked toward it, and that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bit of a failure.
Yeah, that was a shame.
But again, knowing that it should have been there at least takes some of the sting off of that. Like, it's an imperfect world. We got what we got. So, yeah, I mean, but it is a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I like I said, like I like it, and I do think. Oh, God. So, like, those are, I think, the two big actual problems with the episode, right?
Yeah,
besides,
I agree.
Besides Sam's old man makeup.
Yeah.
which was just funny.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure why they decided to go with that, frankly.
I mean, again, you could say it was just, it could be a COVID thing of, like, they didn't want to have him spend hours in a chair.
Maybe.
With a makeup person. They did it as quickly as possible. This is what they had.
Clearly they did it as quickly. they basically got some spray and a bad wig. Went, here you go. Psh, all right.
Yep. We're done. Go.
We're done.
Frown
go.
More.
Just frown more.
Just film
his forehead more. That's
right.
He'll look like a convincing, like, 80-year-old.
Yeah. And again, and he gets, you know, that great Hunter ending of he actually lives until he dies of old age. How many hunters get to do that?
Precisely.
And there is that sense that, like, the Winchester family is still out there, you know, fighting evil, protecting things.
Exactly.
Through his son.
Mm-hmm.
Someone mentioned that, like, a great spinoff you could do, and it doesn't work because of ages, would be to have Claire, you know, the doing the whole wayward thing, but just have Claire basically come by and take his kid and keep teaching him how to hunt.
Nice.
And it's like, again, it's cute, but the ages don't work.
Right.
But yeah, if you ever wanted to do, like, Supernatural next, you could do it. With new Dean.
New Sam, new Dean. All right. This sounds good to me. Yeah, I figured because of the way the episode felt kind of spare, like, that when I was watching it, I thought, this is definitely a pandemic situation. There are lots of things that they simply could not do.
Right. And I kind of think it almost worked out for the best, because it would have been, I don't know, I think too crowded would have been just as bad, right?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, like, where do you stop? But there are lots of little things. I really enjoyed the that they dressed up as FBI agents, you know.
Right.
Kripke,
I didn't catch the first name.
Well, there was Kripke, and I didn't catch the other name.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Kripke was the second one. I didn't catch the first one, but I'm assuming it's one of the other producers.
Yeah.
Maybe the current showrunner, I don't know.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Whose name I cannot remember.
Yeah, like, it was kind of a greatest hits bit. You know, the throwing star comes back. He never does get to use the throwing star.
Yeah, that was.
And it has been a long time since we've seen the full, like, open the trunk, open the hatch in the trunk scene.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true. That felt pleasingly nostalgic.
Yeah, like, it's those little touches that just made it supernatural.
Yeah, and I think one of the things about it was that, I mean, Supernatural is so often metatextual and the winking at the camera, but they were just so, this one was so earnest.
I mean, yeah.
And right down to a completely unabashedly facing the camera and thanking the fans moment at the end.
Right. Also, I will say that I desperately kind of loved the threat to the vampire. With if you tell us. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. The threat to the vampire. Go ahead.
Yeah, with Dean just being like, no, there's no walk out of here situation. Like, if you tell us what you want to know, I use this and hold the machete. Like, if not, and Sam just pulls out this little teeny knife, and the vampire person's like, well, I'll take the little knife. He's like, do you know how long it's going to take to saw your head off? And he realized, like, it clicks into place for him. But when I first saw the knife, I was like, you know, you realize, of course, as the viewer, exactly what they mean. And I'm like, damn. You know, it was just, that was just harsh.
I know.
It was appropriate that, like, Dean dies saving kids. Like, that's the thing.
Sure, yeah. And, I mean, and they're little, and the, and, like, as soon as they walked into that barn, I thought, that is just, like, such a classic Supernatural set. I mean...
Right, like, it's the Hive of Vampires set, right? Like,
precisely.
CWDC shows have warehouses, Supernatural has, like, old motel rooms and barns.
Exactly.
I did love the return of the vampire from the first season with Dean just being like, hey, how you been?
That's right. Yeah, she was from, you know, let's see, like season one. Blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew they'd find, I knew they would pull, I knew they'd do some first season pull somewhere along the way, but I wasn't quite.
I mean, they couldn't do a yellow-eyed demon because we've dealt with all of them.
Right. Maybe Sam's wife is the woman in white.
Nice.
Do you, by the way, do you know who plays the woman in white?
I remembered this and I forgot again. No.
Sarah Shahi.
Ah, yeah.
And I
You know,
no
they have
idea.
A lot of, like, big names in the early seasons. Like, Amy Acker shows up at one point.
Really? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, she's That's in an funny. Episode. There are a number of people here just like, wow, really? You were in Supernatural?
I mean, I suppose I could do that thing I did with the Equalizer when I just sort of scroll through, but I'm not going to do that with Supernatural. I just got a kick out of the fact, I was just reading some Wikipedia trivia on the pilot. And, like, for example, that Ackles and Padalecki were the only people who auditioned for those roles.
Right. Like, they're I remember like, that early on, they got, like, Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, that's right.
You know, it's like
they're all about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's like they get a lot of weird guest stars.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, in season three, you had Lauren Cohen playing that con artist.
Right.
Yeah. Who was just great. I always thought I was sad that we didn't get more of that character.
And of course, you know, the Buffy and Angel bit with James Marsters and Charisma Carpenter come in.
That's always funny.
You know, of course, Elias Tufexis comes in at one point.
Because
we always love it when he's on the show, on any show, and he's on so many.
He really is just popping up here and there.
But yeah, no, there were so many, like, just because it's been 15 years, right?
Oh, totally, yeah.
So, like, there are so many more. I'm just trying to, like, rack my brain for, like,
Also, a little other bit of trivia. You know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan played the dad, but Kripke's yes. first choice to play the dad was Bruce Campbell.
Yes, that I knew.
Which would have been really, I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is more than suitable, but that would have been, having Bruce Campbell pop up as the dad would have been kind of brilliant. That would have
it
just
would have been, but I feel perfect. Like it would have changed the show in a not a great way.
Well, maybe. Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's something kind of like more winky and sort of broader with Campbell.
I mean, of course, they also got Rick Springfield at one point.
Hey, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
And who's Robert that? England and Gary Cole.
Right. Really? I don't remember.
Yeah, the first, they do an episode fairly early on where the monster is on a TV set, on a movie set. And they have to like, infiltrate the movie set, and Gary Cole is like the producer or something.
Yeah, that was Babylon or Hollywood Babylon. That was like an early Ben Edlund written episode.
Right.
Yeah, and I remember seeing, because I remember watching it and going, oh, this is off, like this is extremely meta, because it was the first really meta episode they'd done, and then seeing Ben Edlund's name in the credits, I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, like Aldous Hodge was in an episode at some point, I know. I forget where.
Yeah,
anyway, I remember. Yeah. Leslie Odom Jr., you know, it's like it's Supernatural, 15 years.
Right.
A lot of people, again, it is the Walker, Texas Ranger thing, right?
Right, exactly. Adrian Palicki.
Which?
it is the Walker, Texas Ranger thing, and it's coming full circle. So there
it
you
is.
Go.
but anyway, so do we want to address some of the weird fan issues from Most Ridiculous on?
Because
I have a mental list.
Okay, because I've only seen a couple, but
okay.
I don't know.
I saw a bunch the night it happened, just because I have one friend who got really deep into Supernatural fandom again with this season. So I've just seen a bunch of it, like, just retweeted across me.
Gotcha.
Of course, the big one that has been annoying me, that is the hill I will die on, is a number of people, including USA Today, in their write-up, by the way, which is what finally set me off, mentioned the, like, I don't know, 7-8-inch piece of fucking broken rebar that Dean gets slammed into as a largish rusty nail.
Yeah, that's weird, because I saw that. I think IO9, they do the rusty nail thing, and I'm like, that was a big ass piece of rebar. Like, that would kill you. Like,
right. And then, of course, all fandom was just like, oh, yeah, Dean just dies of tetanus. And I'm like, okay, that's not how tetanus works. B, again, 7-inch piece of rebar. Although the conversation has changed away from the rusty nail because of Ackles, who posted a picture to his Instagram of him leaning in front of the piece of rebar, which is like welded to a plate that's screwed into this wooden beam, and it's like well lit, which you don't see in the show, which makes it even funnier, because it's like, when it was first like, why is there just a piece of rebar stuck through this wooden pole? But now it's who, like, welded, like, who would do the, even vampires, like, what are they doing? it just makes it funnier. But he's kind of, like, poking the end of it, and his caption is just like, can someone call OSHA? Because this doesn't look safe. It's Dean died because of an OSHA violation.
Oh, that's, okay,
which is at least fucking funny.
Yes.
So there's that. There is the, you know, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, Cass is still in Super Hell, which, okay, first of all, he isn't.
Yeah.
Right, I'm like, it's in the fucking literal text of the show.
Yes.
That he helps Jack rebuild heaven. That he is there. Yeah. We just don't see him.
Then we sent him back to the empty or whatever.
Right, yeah. Like, and that would be fucking hysterical if Bobby had just been like, you know, he helped Jack rebuild, you know, heaven. Then, you know, Jack just is like, fuck you, and sent him right back.
Cass is being whiny. Like, where's Dean? Where's Dean? Shut up.
So we know that Cass did not end up in Super Hell. Like, we know it.
Yeah. Super Hell.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. Oh, you know, there is, of course, the Dean doesn't get any time to enjoy his freedom, which I'm like, you know, freedom from fate before he gets killed. Like, he gets like a day or two. And I'm like, right, but Dean, as much as he wants it, also does it. Like, he wouldn't know what to do with it.
That's true.
He needs the peacefulness of heaven is the only happiness he would ever accept. So that's me, at least. Like, he gets a pie competition. Come on.
Yeah, like, I don't even, like, you know, even, that's not really a valid criticism to me anyway. Like, who cares how much time he gets?
Also, because of the way this was cut, we don't know that he only gets, like, we only see a bit of it, but it feels like it could be multiple days.
That's true. And to be honest, if, and this ties into what you're saying, if Dean were suddenly unleashed to be truly free and not have to hunt anymore, either he would keep hunting or he would just simply descend into, like toxic, bitter alcoholism and right. probably die of, like, a heart
bigger and
attack.
Bigger risks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
just because he would be so angry about everything. Like, and again, he was getting past it. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. He would eventually get killed helping someone, and it happened early enough that he didn't have to suffer.
Fair enough.
And you know, but he still died. It still took him long enough to die that he actually got to say goodbye for once. So right. I also do like his don't try and save me. We know this always ends bad. Which was funny considering that, death, even though I know we're now on our third death at this point, if there isn't, right. if it is one yet, because of the way, death works in Supernatural, that, they were just no, we're sick of you guys coming back. That's it. We're done. that's ever stopped them before, but...
Yeah, that's true.
But still. And here's one of my favorite weird ones. Right?
Okay.
Sam gets this whole life and all this, but, we don't get to see him actually enjoy it, as if there should be an entire episode of just Sam.
That's a weird...
no one would have liked that episode.
Yeah.
it would have been terrible.
Yeah, and, I mean, we see a montage of his life.
Right.
So I don't know what... You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of some of the fandom complaints when The Last of Us 2 came out. And one of the complaints was that after Joel dies, that they say, we don't see enough of Ellie's grief. And I'm like, you mean the entire fucking game? Right. That's what this game is Ellie working out her grief. So just shut the fuck up. We see his grave, the whole scene where she goes into his house and see, yeah, whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
Really quick note, by the way, Last of Us mm-hmm. picked up for an Amazon Prime show.
I know. Or HBO.
HBO, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and here's one of my favorite ones. People are bitching that the car goes to heaven. And I'm like, you idiots. A, the car doesn't go to heaven because we see that the car exists in Sam's garage. B, they don't bitch that the roadhouse is in heaven. Heaven is what you want it to be, right? Heaven is your perfect piece, and it's built by someone who knows Sam and Dean. Of course the car will be there for Dean.
Right. Did you see Bobby's hat? Bobby's right. hat is in heaven? Come on.
Mm. And the beer yeah. thing should have been the kickoff, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, this beer it tastes like the first drink I ever shared with my dad. Is it good? No, it's terrible, but also it's fantastic. that's what heaven is.
Yes.
And, again, for Dean, it's the car is kind of the fourth brother with Cass as the third.
Yeah.
The car is part of the family. I'm sorry if you don't get that by now. The car had its own episode.
Exactly. So come on, people.
Yeah, it's not the car shows up in heaven. It's just, again, it's that weird reductive kind of dismissive thing where I get that you didn't like it, but you're cluttering up your own point.
Mm-hmm. Weird bullshit.
I will say, though, that this has actually made me, and I'm probably going to, I'm watching Kim's Convenience right now, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I am enjoying the hell out of it. But I think I'm actually going to start my Supernatural rewatch, because I realized that, I didn't start Supernatural back 15 years ago.
No, you did not.
But I started about 8 years ago. And watched through, the first, eight seasons in, one summer.
I remember that.
And have been watching ever since. So it really has been, 8 years since I've seen the first 8 seasons.
I'm not entirely sure when I started watching it, but I was pretty close to the beginning.
So yeah, I feel I could just start my rewatch now, because it's been longer than most shows have lasted.
Jesus, yeah.
Since I've seen those early episodes. And when they did their retrospective episode, that I thought in a really nice move aired before the finale.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I watched it, and it's very glossy. It's very much look, we had these cool guest stars, and these are these cool characters, and this is what the show is. It's not the deepest thing in the world. But it has some fun in it, and it has a bunch of clips from the early days, and every time the early days were way more fun than I remember.
Yeah, it's one of the things I've realized when going and looking for this particular podcast looking at early episodes. I'm like,
right.
Huh, those are really good, like, well-done Monster of the Week episodes. And yeah.
Also, the first episode, and I mean, really the first season, but the first episode, before they adopt their deeper, gruff voices, is kind of priceless.
That is
not only do they look 12, they sound it. I think it actually fully changes in season 4 when fucking Misha comes in. Because, you know, suddenly you have Cass doing that voice. Yeah. And I think, like, Ackles just suddenly starts matching that voice. And we're off to the races. yeah, at one point, actually, they're like, you know, like the reason for the success of the show and all this. And Ackles is like, it's Padalecki's hair.
Yeah.
And Jared just goes like, he's like, yeah, I bought it in season 6. And I remember when you actually told me that too, like the season 6 sudden change in Sam.
Right.
Because for some reason, like, right, like those, like he worked out between season 5 and 6 and just became this Hulk.
Oh my God. Yeah. They've made jokes about it. Like in the season. Oh,
endlessly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Cause there's in the finale, there's a scene where he gets up and he's shirtless. And I'm like, oh, Padalecki, you're still doing that. Are you? All right.
Yep.
Good for you.
Oh, I mean, you know, he's got to go be Walker, Texas Ranger now.
Exactly.
But yeah, those are most of the weird fan complaints that, again, just muddy the waters for me.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, I just can't, I mean, I can't imagine a different send-off.
Like that, I think that having the cast scene and having an actual payoff to that would have been amazingly good.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sorry that they ended up essentially like queer baiting at the end of the show. Like that is a huge swing and a miss for them.
Yeah, it really was.
That you can't really recover from. And yes, it comes down to pandemic filming, and theoretically, like again with other shows filming, unless they theoretically could have done it if they waited another few months, but. Logistics and money and programming being what it is, I see their problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a shame. It's a shame we didn't get the parents back for the last episode. It's a shame we didn't get a whole lot of other stars. But again, I think they did the best they could. Like they probably could have added in another Cass line somewhere, you know, or even just Dean being like, "All right, I'm gonna go for a drive. Then I need to see Cass," and then he gets interrupted by Sam. Like that's fine.
Yeah,
just something. There was rumor. That there was, because apparently there was some ADR, which there always is, for the episode where Cass dies, and there was, of course, rumor, and now I swear to God people are calling it a conspiracy, that originally the Dean dialogue was Me Too, and then they just had to change it the last second. This starts getting to Sherlock theories, doesn't it?
It does, it really does. I just think of the John Locke conspiracy all over again. Yeah.
People I know who love Sherlock were actually making fun of that. They were just like, oh, look, this is circling again. But again, it was a huge swing and a miss. You know, we can't ignore that. We shouldn't ignore that.
Mm-hmm. But I also saw some not Supernatural fans or Supernatural haters. I don't know. It's weird. There are people who seem to like hate Supernatural, but they seem to be up on every episode. So... when they're discussing that scene with the Destiel scene,
right.
And going on about how it was clear that Dean was gonna punch him or something, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, this I don't is, know. I mean, yeah. There are a lot of people who do say, and I can't really argue with them, that like if you go back and watch every time there's some sort of hint of like Dean likes a guy, he acts very differently. As one of these, like, you know, the bisexual thing has been kind of coded into the show since the beginning, and I'm not arguing against it.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed it. And here's the thing. Let's hold Supernatural, like, to account for this. I never considered it because the show has always, at the very least, treated women so badly since day one.
Yes.
That them true. Being like, and secretly, Dean is bisexual, but we don't want to say it. I can't imagine them ever getting that far. You know, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And that's terrible of me.
Yeah, no, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I always thought that Supernatural, and it's a particular sort of... That style, it's homosocial. Like, exclusively fixated on the relationships between men and just throws women out, like, under the bus or, like, onto the ceiling or, or sends them to hell.
Explodes them. Yeah.
Explodes them, et cetera, whenever, like, whenever it can. Because it is just, it really can't imagine a world with women in it. So when people talk about sort of like queerness and Supernatural, it's I just think it's more just like the queerness just oozes out because there's really nobody else. There are no other genders to fixate on.
I mean, that is part of it. And like I said, like at a certain point, you have to hold them accountable for that. And when you do, you go, okay, maybe they didn't code this, maybe they didn't, but like obviously they were going to do a bad job at it. Yes. Yeah, that's not news.
Yeah,
and again, like it's not that it should be excused, but just like, why is anyone shocked?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so. I do wish Supernatural had been better at that. I mean, yes.
And there's one other thing we have to kind of admit too, that the fandom for Supernatural is unique. In that, there is no other show. 15 years, there were people who started watching the show when they were like 11, and it was like their edgy horror show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they are now like 26, and watching this thing that is a staple of their entire lives end.
Mm.
That's gonna fuck you up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some, especially with fandoms, they get very, very, very invested.
As they should, so, like anything good, that's, you know. And of course, there is also the weird, terrible, toxic social media feedback loop of fans yell about a thing. So the shows go, well, hey, they're engaging more, they're talking about us more.
Mm.
Let's do a thing. Whether it's to fuck with the fans or not.
Right.
And sometimes it is just to fuck with the fans because you know that they'll yell and they'll make a lot of noise and people will cover your show. And you know that people will dismiss the fans regardless of how right or wrong they are for being kooky. And,
exactly.
You know, so it self-perpetuates in a terrible, terrible way. And I think shows have kind of learned the wrong lesson.
A lot. Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, witness Zack Snyder's Justice League
as
the worst case outcome. I always thought that Supernatural in many ways did a really good job with dealing with fans and fandom. I mean, that's, and we can talk about this as we get into our top five episode bit. But they sort of figured out fandom really early on. I mean, and began to respond to it. And I think before a lot of other shows ever did.
Well, and I think it's also that the actors were really genuinely good people, right? Like, you know, Misha and his constant fundraising.
Yes.
Ackles and Padalecki with their constant fundraising and being open and honest about, you know, anxiety issues and depression and mobilizing this huge fan base and community to do good works. You know, I think that the actors kind of pushed the show in that direction more than anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it's funny.
It is, in general, a great community. And to a large extent, they were served badly by this ending in certain ways. But I also do think that there was no ending possible.
Of course not.
You know? So, yeah. Like, I feel bad for people who feel, you know, dismissed. And, again, like, outside of the queerbaiting thing, which is a very, very valid problem. But people who even outside of that just feel dismissed by it because they wanted something different, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is something that they lived most of their lives with, you know? Again, there are people who watch the show for over half their lives.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
and
crazy
people
to think.
That, right. And yeah, it's like, and people who feel like this thing betrayed them in the end, that's a terrible feeling. And I do feel bad for them. I feel better, I guess, for, and I'm kind of kidding here, but better, I guess, for all of the writers for pop culture sites who got paid to write about how terrible this ending was and have already written their articles to submit in about a year and a half for It Was Good, Actually. God bless them. They're getting paid twice and they know it.
If only writers got paid decent money anymore.
I also look forward to, in 5 to 10 years, the extra episode, the new like reunion special where Sam and Dean are in heaven and they're suddenly getting called back for the "You have one more mission, boys." And it'll have Cass in it, and it'll have like everyone as, you know, like all the hunters that are in heaven that we know, storm Earth to deal with something.
Right.
I look forward to this happening eventually.
Yes. Wasn't DJ Qualls, like, wasn't he in the show for a bit?
I think so, yeah.
Like, it's been so freaking long. There's been so, after 15 years of the show, there are bits that I'm like, did I hallucinate that part? Or was he an actual, was he actually in there? He played a hunter, and he was kind of ridiculous. He was like season 6 or 7.
Yeah, I mean, good. Garth.
Very funny. Yeah.
Garth can come back.
Oh, boy, please. Is that, maybe that is, hold on. Hold
maybe
on.
That is him, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Garth, like, is that... yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Garth is the played by DJ Qualls.
I mean, he showed up in the 15th season. At least he came back one last time.
Oh, I didn't. I know, do I did like, not see that episode.
Real? Oh, that was the episode where it was like they had lost the antagonist powers, the protagonist powers rather.
Right.
And they end up at Garth. Like, and I do think it's funny that entire character starts off as like the worst hunter, becomes the new Bobby.
Yes.
Then becomes a vampire. Then retires happily with his like family, werewolf rather,
yeah.
And then retires happily with his like family of werewolves, and at the end of the show, like helps them out. It is an incredible weird mini character arc over like 6 or 7 seasons.
I know.
So good, so good. God. Anyway. So we did decide that we were going to discuss our picks for the top 5 episodes of Supernatural.
Woohoo!
That were not The French Mistake or what was that? The Mystery House?
Mystery Spot.
Because again, those are too easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with 6, and it took me a while, because again, there's so many seasons, like I'm sure that there are at least 12 more that I'm missing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I did a list, and I've sort of chipped it down, and I was actually a little surprised by some of the results. I thought I would like just end up going all with like ridiculous meta episodes, but a lot of my favorites kind of turned out to be sort of the more sort of actual serious ones.
Well, go for it, and we'll see where we'll see which ones overlap with mine. Then I'll go for whatever you know I don't have that you didn't, or rather I do have that you didn't. Yes, that makes more sense.
But I have to say I also have some, because 5 out of 320 is pretty like it's a tough.
Right. I mean that's it. That's today's list, right? Not having rewatched everything.
Yeah. So I have a few honorable mentions.
Okay.
First honorable mention of mine is season 3's Ghost Facers.
Oh yeah, see that wasn't on mine. And I didn't list like when any of these happened because I couldn't. I just remembered bits.
Right.
But the Ghost Facers. Yeah.
And I think it was the second appearance of the characters, but it was the one in which it was literally like an episode of Ghost Facers.
Yeah,
in which
that was the second
Sam and
time.
Dean just kind of pop up. I think one of them dies, but it was just like the sheer sort of like conceit of that was just kind of brilliant. And that comes in late in season 3, and there are just like several just really like there's a run of like outstanding late season 3 ones. Like Mystery Spot is number 11. Mm-hmm. Then the next one is Jus and Bello, which is the one where they're all trapped in a sheriff's office.
Oh,
which is just a great sort of bit of supernatural horror. And then there is Ghost Facers. And then you've just got the last 3 of the season.
Right.
Anyway, so there's that one. The other sort of big honorable mention, and this kept going into my top 5 and then dropping out again. Scooby Natural.
Yeah, that's one of my honorable mention ones too.
Yeah, it was just so freaking brilliant.
I think it only hit. I mean, because Jesus, like, not only was it brilliant, but of course at the end, you know, he said the line. But part of the reason it ended up as an honorable mention was because I think one of the funniest bits was actually in the next episode, which is fairly early on. Something happens, and Dean goes, "Jinkies." And it just kind of adds a cap to the episode.
Right.
Before it, which is, you know. So, yeah. Okay. Any other honorable mentions?
I've got one more. Okay. And that's, it's actually a two-parter. And it's one that I don't think would show up on anyone's sort of top. Or even top 10, but they're just one, like, these two are ones that I go to. Like, if I want to, like, watch another one, I can, you know, if I want to just sort of watch a random Supernatural episode, I'll do this. It's mid-season 4, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Heaven and Hell. And that's the one where they discover, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, you get the backstory with Sam and Ruby. And also you have the woman in the insane asylum who's getting messages from angels, but it turns out that she herself is an angel.
Right.
And you begin to get, and it's Heaven and Hell, you begin to get real insight into the nature of angels in the world, like in Supernatural, which is that, like, Lucifer, the only difference you realize between, like, Lucifer and the other angels is that they follow the rules, but they hold humanity in just as much contempt,
right,
as Lucifer does. They're
is, like, that the as, first as, angels bit too? Like, when you first meet the angels and they try to bribe them?
Yeah, I think that's the very first. Like, you meet Cass early, like in early, the beginning of the season,
right?
But this is where you actually meet other angels.
Yeah, no, and they try to bribe them, and that's Dean's first. You dicks.
Yeah, just basically, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that made my honorable mentions as well. And actually, Cass's entrance made my honorable mention, just because that scene was an incredible way to introduce a character.
Oh, yeah, that's iconic. That actually went into my top 5. So,
okay.
So there you go. Because I was... Yeah, so those are my honorable mentions.
All right.
So how do you want to do this? Do you want to...
Just go for it.
Alrighty. Man, these are really, really tough. Geez, yeah, okay. Number 5 is Lazarus Rising, which is the beginning of season 4. Dean comes back from hell and you meet Cassiel for the first time.
Yeah.
And I put this in my top 5 because A, the introduction of Cass, the introduction of angels into the supernatural cosmos, which completely changed the show. Also, the tone was so, it was just, I mean, it was such a gamble to have Dean, like, literally die, get sent to hell at the end of season 3. They're just like, how do you get out of this? Well, you don't. And then is pulled back, but everything is just kind of like, but it's not a happy, it's not like this, he doesn't just ease in. Like, just things are fucked up in his absence. So, and right. Sam's off somewhere. So I put that at number 5. Number 4, I was kind of, this is a season 5 episode, and there are a couple that I was juggling for season 5. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of Abandon All Hope at first, which is the one, I think it's episode 10. And I think it's the one where they basically try to kill Lucifer and fail. And what's her faces get the two women get killed, which is, but I went with the end, which is Dean's flash forward into the apocalypse,
right,
where Sam is Lucifer. So that was my number 4.
Yeah.
Number 3, because it is, like, legitimately one of the funniest episodes of all is Changing Channels.
Yeah.
Where they keep on just going through the different genres.
That is one of mine.
And it also works. One of the reasons it works so well, why one of the reasons it made my top five, is that it isn't just a ridiculous episode. You find out that the trickster is Gabriel, and the whole thing is about, you know, I've trapped you in here, so, like, no, you just fucking straighten up and play the role that you've been assigned.
Yeah.
Which I thought, and of course, once again, they're like, no, screw you. Anyway.
Team free will, man.
Team free will. Number two, this is a season 7 episode, Death's Door. It's Bobby dying. And we see Bobby's past. I was racking my brains, and I remembered this one, and I'm like, this is one of the standouts from the season 5, post-Kripke era. So I put that in there. And my number one is Baby, which is the car episode. So those are my top five.
Okay. Well, you know, between your honorable mentions and there were two of yours that are on mine, which is the Baby and the Trickster TV episode.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, I didn't dig out, like, what the actual episode names were or what season they were in, because I'm a dick. You might know. I don't know.
I'll see if I can pull it out of my brain.
Well, one of my honorable mentions, though, the honorable mention that you didn't mention, because, like, the cast entrance is an honorable for me, and so is the First Angels.
Mm-hmm.
But the honor and Scooby. But also the killing Hitler, going back in time and killing Hitler thing, only was an honorable mention for me because of the next episode again, like the Scooby thing for me, when they go and visit Jody and she's like, how you guys doing? And Dean just has a shit-eating grin and goes, pretty good, killed Hitler. And she's just like, okay.
I think it was Everybody Hates Hitler, I think was the name of the episode.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah, that's one of the later ones. And that was, geez, that was great. I've forgotten just that one. That one should have been somewhere up there. Yeah.
Let's see. What else do I have? Oh, the when we first find out that Chuck is God, and the entire thing with the bar.
Oh my God!
With him just hanging out is one of my top five.
Right. Yeah. I
there's so much of that late bit of that season, like the whole Amara season, that because of the God stuff and just them dealing with God and you know, like Dean just being calling him on account, and the God and Lucifer talking, and all, like, there's so much in that season that is just full of just deep, weird, like, personal conversations that I adore.
Yeah, that's Don't Call Me Shirley. That's the name of that episode.
Okay. But just great God in one. The bar, just, you know, God.
And Metatron, like, yeah.
Right.
Right.
Trying to write his book. Just the entire thing was just amazingly well done.
And I think that's the episode where he mentions that he's working on a new one called Revolution, but he doesn't think it's going anywhere. Yes, that was a chuckle.
The Supernatural Convention was one of my top five episodes. And again, like, I think the first Chuck thing, where they first find out that, like, Chuck is a prophet at the time, like, that's what we think, and that he's this novelist and all that is fun. Mm-hmm. But it really is when they go to the Supernatural Convention and have to solve this kind of, like, Agatha Christie locked room murder mystery.
Oh my God.
At a convention where everyone just thinks that they're other cosplayers is, like, just, it's like that Ghostfacer episode for me, right? Like, it's that peak, we're going to poke fun at ourselves, we're going to poke fun at everything, but also do a good episode of our own show at the same time.
Right,
like, hit that perfect balance.
Sorry, and I just remember my favorite part of that episode is the German fan who's, like, dressed up, like, as one of, like, the all-time worst supernatural villains.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just got a huge kick out of that. And that's the thing, they don't, like, I was thinking when we were talking about fandom and how they handled fandom, like, that, that was one in which they were acknowledging their fandom, kind of poking fun, but being
lovingly.
Mean-spirited. But lovingly. If you look at that and say, you know, the Sherlock episode, the Reichenbach Fall, when it's clear that, you know, Moffat and Gaddis are just...
They, like, hate their fans.
They're being cruel. And, like, they clearly have contempt for these dimwits who have nothing better to do than talk about the
show. Well, going along with that, one of my other top fives, frankly, is the musical episode.
Ooh, fan fiction. Which
because,
is delightful.
You know, there's no singing in Supernatural. if only because not only was it a good Supernatural episode,
mm-hmm.
and you had all the fun of, like, we know that they exist in this universe as fiction, and here's this, you know, thing. But that the musical itself calls them out.
Mm.
Like, calls out the writers. Like, yeah. They were writing, they were calling themselves out for the constant, like, and then they split up, and then they have these heartfelt conversations, and then they never did it again in the show. Because before that, like, every season would, like, start with their split up. And it was after that that they never did it again.
That's a good point.
Because they called it out. Like, it was kind of like the Scrubs bit where they, like, were suddenly, like, they made fun of the sad music and then they never used it again. It was just so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one that you haven't mentioned that I have here is that first episode in the season where Dean comes back as a demon.
Right.
And it's in the bar with Crowley.
Right.
Doing karaoke, and just, like, it's Dean unleashed as evil, and it's fucking priceless.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah, that is pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of that season that doesn't work, but that's not part of it.
Yeah. Just trying to think of... You know, I was trying to remember... Oh, another thing about Abandon All Hope. I'd totally forgotten this bit. Season 5. It was also the first episode with Crowley.
Yeah.
When he just sort of shows up as a crossroads demon.
That's right.
And if I recall, like, he has to like Bobby has to kiss him, which was fucking hilarious.
No, it's not Speaking Bobby. Of... He's making a deal with someone else.
Oh, okay.
At the start of the episode, that's his introduction.
Oh,
no, and that's the thing. It's like, when you start delving into it, like, it's one of those things of there's so much stuff that isn't in a single episode. There's just these little plot bits that are great. Like, the entire, like, entrance of Rowena straight through to, like, her history and the Crowley thing and all that is just amazingly well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rowena was such a great character by the end.
Yeah, and I, you know, it took me a while to vibe with Rowena.
Yeah, there is just, like I said, like, you start digging into it, and you're just like, yeah, there's so much good stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, when you first said, let's do top five, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, oh, crap.
Right, no, it is almost impossible, and I knew that.
Yeah.
Like, even just the last episode of season 5. Like, here's the original ending of the show, you know, straight through to ass butt.
Oh, yeah. Hey, ass butt. Yeah, that was kind of perfect. And... actually, that's one, but that's probably my second favorite Cass line. But I think my all-time favorite Cass line, I think it's from the end when it's the beginning when he's trying to call Dean from, like, a roadside. He's like, Dean, the voice is telling me I am all out of minutes. And I'm like,
oh.
And just remember, you just remember like this, like, sort of this cast of, like newly in the world, but, like, unable to, like, handle even the basics, which was so great.
Yeah, no, that character had so much weird growth. I mean, hell, like I said, like, one of my favorite bits, and it's not, like, as a single episode, I don't think it works as well, but it really is the season with the International Men of Letters.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, that build up towards we're going to kill the American hunters and take over.
Right.
You know, straight through, like, we're going to torture Sam. It's like, that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
And, like, straight through to the, all right, it's time to just fuck these guys up.
Mm-hmm.
And just the American hunters just going in there and cleaning house was one of the biggest, like, weird fist pump things in the series.
Yes.
Because yes, it sells indeed. Yet again, like, just exactly how fucking dangerous these people are.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, like, I mean, yes, they're killing all these monsters and all that, but you kind of get used to it. But in a way, you do, you know what I mean? But, like, suddenly the hunter's going against this paramilitary force that obviously outclasses them.
Right.
But it's that hunter ethos that we've seen with the Winchesters, with, you know, Bobby, with everyone, right? Where it's like, oh, sure, you can have better weapons, you can have better tactics. But at the end of the day, we're just mean sons of bitches.
Right.
It actually comes across in the last episode with Garth, actually, this season, where he's saving them. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're like, this big evil thing is still coming down the hall after all the shit they're doing, and they're outside, like, what the fuck are we gonna do? And suddenly everything explodes. And Garch just grins at them and holds up this detonator with C4, a hunter's best friend.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember I wrote a short thing about Supernatural in the run-up to the to the finale. And I came up with the first, like, few seasons of the show. I described it as, like, Dirtbag X-Files.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's pretty much it. There's the mythology comes on pretty thick, but
sure,
there's that sort of that basic idea still shows up.
Yeah, I mean, it's that Americana thing, right? Like, it's Springsteen and Tom Petty.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And, you know, it's them on the road. And actually, with the finale, one of the things I like, weirdly enough, is that, like, you know, Sam, grieving and all this, gets a call to Dean's other phone. Which is one of the weird running gags of the show, right? Yes. That they have, like, 17 phone calls, 17 cell phones, and it is just, you've reached Dean's other phone. But he leaves the bunker for good and goes back on the road.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, you do. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Although I like to think that he didn't take Baby. He took a different car. Like, Baby just lives somewhere quiet. Like, that was Dean's. Like, even in the early seasons when, like, he installs, like, the CD player or the MP3 player in Baby and Dean gets furious.
Yes. I love that.
And that's the thing, right? Like, there are 15 seasons of the show. There were amazing episodes that stand out as, like, some of the best genre TV episodes ever, frankly. But even in the bad seasons, Ackles and Padalecki bouncing off of each other was fucking TV gold for 15 years straight.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it was like in one of the worst seasons where you get the, hey, which Golden Girls do you think is the hottest?
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. No, it's exactly. Like, even, like you say, even at their worst, there was still something to be pulled from Supernatural. Yeah. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned some of the, like, the really good episodes from the first couple of seasons.
Right.
I mean, they're finale. I mean, one of the things I loved about the first couple of seasons, for me, for even first three, is the way they're always trying to, like, pull their fat out of the fire by making doomed deals, which kind of will save them, like, in the short term, but actually just screws them over, and they have to make another even worse deal. Like, just, and I just loved that part about it. That was one of my favorite aspects of Supernatural.
Like, I remember, like, I figured, like, by the end of the first season they deal with the yellow-eyed demon thing, and they don't.
Nope.
And that just escalates and escalates. And, like, I mean, now you look back and you're like, okay, that would have been 5 minutes of the show.
Right.
But, like, just demon. Back then, that escalates to the point where it's like, well, we're going to fight the devil. And it's just like, everyone's just like, well, we're going to die today.
Yep. Delightful. Yeah, the season one finale was Devil's Trap, which was really good. And then, actually, I think all hell breaks loose. Like, the two-part.
Right.
Finale for season two. I mean, that was like that. Just remember that all hell breaks loose when they, just, you know, all the yellow-eyed demon special children gather in that abandoned town to basically kill each other. I mean, that was freaking great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's just so much goodness in that show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from when we used to get, like, scenes of them preparing bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I think, again, like, that sense of, and it comes out in the American Men of Letters season, it comes out in the early seasons a lot, but that sense of, like, these are not people who ever stop.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even in their worst moment, they'll kind of laugh at you as they think they're going to go down. And that's why I love that whole bit when they're fighting, like, God at the end.
Oh, yeah.
In episode 19, like, you know, they have this huge beatdown, and they're just laughing at it, and he's begging them to stay down.
Yes.
Like, it is an incredibly powerful moment, but it also feels like, as much as it is unique for a lot of reasons, it feels like it's an encapsulation of so much of the show, just in that one moment.
Oof.
You know, I mean, when Mary comes back, and, like, the entire thing with her being this great hunter.
Jeez, yes. That was, yeah, I, you know, I wasn't... I mean, no, I liked Mary coming back, but when I think in season six, when they, is it when Dean jumps back in time and discovers that
the whole Mary history of the car.
Yeah. So some of that I liked, but also the fact that Mary's family were hunters, I was like, I didn't feel like a retcon, but I felt a little unnecessary to me. Like they were just kind of finding more story for the show. But
well, I think that they were doing it just to, right, to pay off when they all come back and they have to deal with that family.
Right.
And yeah, it pays off when you finally see Mary and you're like, you find out that she tried to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a weird way, like her and John were kind of Sam and Dean in a twisted way.
Yeah.
In terms of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So much weirdness and goodness in that show.
Agreed. Yeah. We shall not see its like again unless there's a...
I mean, we really won't. I can't imagine. Because there are things that it did that... we were talking about that earlier, like a season or two ago, that like you need 15 years of burn-in to be able to pull off some of the character moments they do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need 15 years of 22 episodes apiece, you know, or however many.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many shows get to 300, like, and are committed to this kind of, because, you know, something like NCIS or something like that doesn't do the character development, doesn't do the world building in the same sense.
Right.
So it is a thing that will never be seen again. Christ, you know what we forgot in our great episodes?
What's that?
The Fear episode.
Is that the one with the unicorn?
I don't think it's the one with the unicorn. It's the one where where Dean gets infected and starts getting afraid of everything.
Oh, right.
But it's going to eventually kill him, and that's where you end up with the whole Eye of the Tiger on the car thing.
Oh my god, yes.
After, you know, that was an extra bit. But just Dean having to psych himself up and then and him screaming constantly. It was just, again, a great episode, but it was also hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Supernatural. It is gone, but not forgotten.
Oh, and also the episode where he becomes an old man played by Chad Everett.
Oh, yeah. God.
Shit. I don't know. There's just so many great little bits and pieces in that show.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, we have gone past the hour mark by a bit. We have eulogized Supernatural as much as we can.
We have indeed.
Should we play some music?
Yes. Music indeed.
Music.